This heat is doing the most, and your patience isn't. It's time to find something that actually cools you off. Cool off with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. And just trust. Believe.
Happy holidays, everyone. This week, we've put together a collection of our favorite premonition stories. We'll catch up at the end of the episode. Enjoy.
I haven't had an overwhelming amount of experiences that I can't explain, but this one will always stand out to me. For some important context, during my duration of schooling, I was a massive nerd. I truly love learning, so I hardly ever miss school, unless I was actually very sick. This is important to the story, I promise. This took place during my sophomore year of high school. Aside from being a nerd, you could also say I was a bit of a goth. My best friend at the time was also best friends with a girl I couldn't stand to be around due to the company she kept, namely, two neo-Nazi kids. They were kind of like the old cartoons where there was a big dumb dog and a small, angry dog who was the unequivocal leader. I always got the impression that the larger kid was just along for the ride because he didn't really have any other friends. I was very open about my distaste for them and their horrible beliefs from day one. There was one day in particular where they were picking on a very small girl in the quad who was just quietly reading to herself. They kept calling her all sorts of awful racial slurs. I have a hard time standing up for myself, but it's always been easy for me to defend others. So naturally, I got in between the shitheads and their innocent target. I told the leader to pick on me if he wanted to pick on someone a little closer to his own size. They both just scoffed and walked off. A week later, the leader tried to trip me down the concrete stairs, but the joke was on him because I've always been a klutz. So I was very used to catching myself when I was falling. I simply glared at him and went about my day. It was quiet for some time after this. I just stopped hanging out with my bestie when she was around them. I began to settle in more with my group of nerd friends. About a month or so after the stairs incident, I woke up for school one day with an overwhelming urge to stay home. I asked my mom if I could skip school that day, and oddly enough, she agreed. I think she assumed I needed a mental health day or something, since I never missed classes. I happily went about playing video games and enjoying my me time. A few hours later, I got a call from one of my friends. She's a bit panicked and asks if I'm okay. I just said, yeah, I didn't feel like going to school today, so I didn't go. She then informs me that not long after school had started, the neo-Nazis had been caught with a shotgun and a handgun. They had been found out because they were apparently showing the guns off to some other friends, who then ratted them out to security. The leader ended up getting expelled, while his friend was only suspended since it was clear to everyone who the instigator always was. His friend completely changed after that, grew out his shaved head, and stopped wearing his classic neo-Nazi uniform of sorts. He never even made eye contact with me after that, and if he did, it was very sheepish. He never bothered me again. I don't know what happened to the leader after that. I hope he changed his hateful ways, but I know, just know in the pit of my stomach, that they were waiting for me to get to school that day. I don't know who or what stopped me from going, but I'm forever thankful.
This occurred when I was in third grade. My family, which consists of me, my mother, my older brother, and my younger sister, all lived in a small house in rural Iowa. We were in the process of moving to the largest city in the area. My mother was working in Omaha and house hunting during the day so that she could be closer than an hour from her job. A move was imminent, and the only obstacle was finding the right home in our price range. It was also very important that it was near a good school. Our country home was a modified trailer where all the bedrooms emptied out into a shared hallway. My brother and I shared a room which was catty corner from my mother's. One night, I had an extremely vivid dream of a blue house with white trim surrounded by a waist-high white fence. It was definitely not the country, but rather an urban atmosphere with a large school across the street. In my dream, I was playing in the house's entryway as I watched my sister exit the front door, go down the steps, and through the gate. She seemingly was without aim and wandered into the street, where she was immediately struck by a car. I knew that she had died. I don't recall anyone telling me that she was dead or seeing anything that would indicate that she was dead, but I just knew it. I woke up, shaken, panicked, and crying. I did as any 10-year-old would do and made a beeline for my mother's room. But as I exited my room, I almost collided with my mother, who was leaving her room and was visibly distraught as well. She asked, "What's wrong?" I said through tears that I had a dream where Kate died. She got hit by a car. My mom stood there and asked what had happened. I explained what I had dreamt, and after, she stood there quietly until she sheepishly said, "I had that same dream." She then went on to describe the house with its blue color and white trim, and how my sister had escaped through the open gate. The commotion had woken up my brother, and he asked what was going on. We told him about our dream, and he was very unimpressed and just asked us to keep it down. We were both a bit confused and had a hard time shaking the coincidence, but gradually made our way back to bed. We found out in the morning that my sister had the same dream with that same house, the same fence, and the same large school across the street, with the same outcome. As wild as it was, without any more information, it was easily dismissed as just a strange coincidence and a good story, but as an adult, I learned that there was a real blue house with white trim and a fence across the street from one of the best schools in the city, a house that we were at some point very close to buying. In fact, it became a source of contention between my mother and grandfather, who was helping with the house hunt, because he didn't understand why my mom wouldn't want to live in a house that was seemingly everything that she ever wanted in a home. I don't know if she ever told him.
one of your episodes, there was a story about someone dreaming about a future event. I have had this happen to me for most of my life, and since I am a religious person, I always chalk it up to God giving me a heads up on what's going to happen in my life. Anyways, when I was 12, my mom was having my grandpa come over to help fix some things in the backyard and put up a new patio awning. He was naturally handy and could do just about anything. It was the first week of the new year, and he had spent that weekend with us, fixing things and assembling the new awning. I absolutely loved my grandpa, and we had a very close relationship, so I was always excited to have him over. He had spent Saturday and Sunday with us, even staying for dinner. On Sunday, I had to go to bed early because of school the next morning. That night, I had one of my first future dreams. In my dream, I walked into this large room with what looked like hundreds of people standing in it, dressed in all black, with their backs facing me. They were also a lot taller than me, since I was just a kid. I kept turning all these people around to see what was going on. I must have turned around 5 or 6 people, all of them kneeling and crying, saying, "Oh, honey, I'm so sorry for your loss." "What did I lose?" I asked, but no one would tell me. Finally, I turned a figure around and it was my dad. I asked him, "Dad, what's going on? Why are all these people crying and telling me I lost something?" He replies, "Honey, don't you remember? Your grandpa is dead." In that second, everyone in the room disappeared, and I turned to see my grandpa in a hospital room, flatlined, lying in a bed. I got up the next morning and immediately told my mom. I was so scared and felt like it was so real. She reassured me that nothing was going to happen and that my grandpa was fine. I asked her if we could have him over for dinner every night that week because I wanted to make sure. Fast forward to Friday night, I'm asleep in my bed when around 11 p.m., my mom comes into my room and says that we need to get up. Grandpa was rushed to the hospital and was unresponsive. My dad picked up my brother and I once we got to our grandparents, which was only a mile or two down the road. He took me to my other grandma's, his mother's, for the night and we stayed there. In the morning, both my parents, who were already divorced for some time, came to pick us up. They sat us down on the couch and explained that my grandpa had suddenly passed away. All the while, my mom was sobbing. She grabbed my hands, and I'll never forget her saying, "You knew. You knew." To this day, I can still see that dream clearly in my head. I'm thankful that I trusted my intuition, because it meant that I got to spend every night with my grandpa right up until his death. I've had many other dreams that have come true, but I'll start here. I'll share some others soon.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Being raised in a very religious family, my twin sister and I have been made aware and knowledgeable of the paranormal at a young age. We believed in evil entities and also good ones, but we were taught to consider the doors that would be opened if we acknowledged any sort of evil spirit. Watching horror movies, or even speaking of paranormal topics were supposedly ways that evil could be lured to you. This is why, recently, my twin sister and I have put the pieces together of horrid experiences we both had but didn't know that we shared. This first occurrence happened at the age of 5. My sister, Penelope, and I were taking a nap in our play tent in the unfinished basement of our small townhome. Usually after school, we would take naps and play in that tent until our mother came home and made dinner. What I recall was taking a nap and Penelope violently shaking me awake in a panic and telling me to run upstairs. 22 years later, I'll never forget the horrified look on her face. It gave me the instant signal that we needed to leave. According to Penelope, she had trouble falling asleep and just stared at the colorful fabric tent walls. She then noticed shadows of multiple entities circling around the tent. Not even a minute later, the tent started to lift up, but the weight of our small bodies was keeping the center connected to the ground. Thus, only the corners of the tent were actually in the air. At that point, Penelope, being the older twin, protectively ran behind me as she made me bolt up the steps of the basement first. We both ran to our older sister upstairs and never played in that basement alone again. Now, that townhome that we lived in was allegedly touched with black magic by the previous owner's mother, who was upset about her son selling the house to us. We learned of this from our neighbor, who was close with the previous family, but only told my mother after we sold the house because she didn't want to scare my family away. And with our great twin luck, my sister and I slept in what used to be the grandmother's bedroom for 5 years until we moved out. I believe the bedroom that we shared was one of the more active spaces in the house. Something my sister and I experienced but didn't realize we both had was the same recurring dream. We would both dream of being in our room, but the three windows on the wall zoomed in and out at the same time while shadows circled the walls. We both described this dream as being like a circus or carousel, but from a horror movie. After being moved out of that house for a while, I brought up having those dreams in that room, which to my surprise, Penelope told me she had the same exact one every other night as well. The last occurrence I want to talk about was in a different home when my sister and I were 17. We shared a small room with two twin beds about 4 feet away from each other. This was mostly a scary experience for Penelope, as it was her first time out of many having sleep paralysis. What she recalled that night was going to bed at around 4 a.m. after video chatting with her then boyfriend. She then hears my mother come out of her room and sit on the couch in the living room, loudly talking on the phone to my uncle. This isn't unusual for my mother to do this. In fact, my family is practically accustomed to hearing her rowdiness in the early morning hours and falling back to sleep with ease. Penelope does just this and turns on her side while feeling herself fall asleep. Except she was hearing our mother's voice, and she realized that she couldn't recognize it. It slowly started turning into the deep voice of a man. The voice does not only turn male, but it's shouting and it's cursing at her with what she describes to be in tongues, while still being able to understand every word. She realized that her body couldn't move and described feeling like she was sinking into her bed while feeling like she was floating on top of it at the same time. In addition, she felt a heavy weight on her body, and to her horror, she saw a man with a pointed nose and a top hat slowly inching towards her face. At this point, she starts panicking and is screaming my name, although nothing is actually coming out of her mouth. I, on the other hand, was dreaming. I don't remember what it was about, but I heard Penelope frantically call my name multiple times. I guess the dream was too much for me to keep sleeping because I jolted up in my bed and looked at Penelope, checking if she was calling for me. It looked like she was sleeping as her back was facing toward me. But seconds later, she woke up crying hysterically and was yelling that she just experienced sleep paralysis.
I ran to the light, for some reason scared that whatever she experienced or saw would get me too. Funny how I believed light would save me. Once I turned it on, I sat on her bed. She cried and told me about her sleep paralysis and how she kept trying to scream my name but couldn't get anything out. I told her I heard her in my dream, and that's why I woke up a few seconds before she could get out of her sleep paralysis. Unfortunately, Penelope has experienced sleep paralysis many times after this, but this time, she says, is by far the worst that she ever had. We don't talk about it because it usually triggers another experience. This has me convinced that maybe acknowledging the paranormal does open up doors to evil entities, and sleep paralysis is just one of the ways that the paranormal toys with the living. Since this incident, we both strongly believe that we have a heavy twin connection, and I hope that in the future, we can help each other out again by using it.
I've always been drawn to dark things. When I was little, my parents would take me on drives through the mountains, and I'd excitedly point out the houses, saying, "That's a haunted house, Daddy." Yes, haunted. I was really little and it was cute. As I grew up, I started realizing that I had something different. The closest thing I can call it is intuition. The first time I remember experiencing this, I was about 6 years old. My parents sat us down for what they said was an important conversation. Before they could say anything, I blurted out, "You're having another baby." But I knew that couldn't be true. My mom had recently had a hysterectomy. Then, without missing a beat, I said, "You're getting divorced." I had never heard them argue, never heard them talk about separation. But I was right. Somehow, I just knew. Years later, my high school boyfriend's mom helped me dig into my family history. I came across the name of my great-grandmother, Alpha, and learned that her resting place wasn't too far away. We decided to visit. As soon as we drove through the cemetery gates, I felt this intense pull to the left. We parked on a hill, but I immediately walked back down, following that pull, and I walked straight to her grave. I had never been there before. I had never even met her. According to my dad, she was a warm, loving woman. I like to think she was guiding me. Some experiences weren't intuitive exactly, but still strange. One day in high school, I was driving to work when a big blue truck flagged me down. Two men inside were yelling, telling me I had hit them. Confused and concerned, I pulled over. Something I would never do today. As I approached their truck, apologizing and trying to see where the damage was, one of them suddenly froze. His whole face changed, like he'd seen a ghost. He backed away quickly, saying, "Everything's fine, I'm sorry." And then he just got back in the truck. It felt like something or someone had stepped in to protect me. I'll never forget the look of terror on his face. In my early 20s, I became obsessed with finding a children's book I remembered from childhood. It was part of a creepy anthology series with ghost stories and eerie illustrations. I could picture it, but I couldn't remember the name. Then one day, on a whim, I stopped by a used bookstore I rarely visited. And there that book was, right up front, on display. What were the odds? At that same age, I worked at a clothing store. One of my coworkers claimed to be a medium. She said there was a woman's spirit in the store with sunken, sad eyes. I had always felt creeped out there, but I brushed it off. Until she mentioned this to me. The name Rosa popped in my head, and I said it aloud. She nodded. Who knows? Maybe it was nothing. Or maybe we really connected with someone. That same coworker once told me I had a light blue aura and a kind spirit. One of my biggest moments came during the end of my first marriage. My then husband was struggling with a serious addiction and claimed he was finally clean. One morning, I was hit with this overwhelming urge to check his pockets of the shirts hanging in our closet, somewhere I had never even thought to look. He had dozens of nearly identical shirts. I reached for one, pulled it out, and found pills in the very first pocket I checked. That moment sealed it for me. I didn't even confront him. I was just done. We divorced that same year. But the strangest story of all is also the most beautiful. In December of 2019, an old friend I hadn't seen in nearly a decade reached out to reconnect. We'd known each other in school and had always been in other relationships. But after just a couple of dates, I knew this was something different. We got married in 2022. Looking back, I realized we'd been circling each other for years. He even worked for me once. I later unknowingly dated his roommate. Then I moved into the apartment above him with another boyfriend. I went to introduce them, and they started hugging. Apparently, they had worked together years before. We both went through breakups around the same time while living in that complex. And in one of my old yearbooks, I had highlighted only his photo with a purple marker. Something in me must have always known it was him. In 2024, at 37, I had my first child, a baby girl. Just like I always knew I would. A psychic once told me it would be hard for me to have a baby, but when I did, it would only be one, and it would be a girl. This January, I returned to work from maternity leave. I work a flexible job that allows me to work from home, but on this particular Friday, something told me not to. It was a hard morning. I didn't want to leave my daughter, but I made myself to go into the office anyway. An hour and a half later, I got a call from the police. Someone had driven a huge SUV into our house, into our living room. The impact destroyed the front of the house, pushed all the living room furniture forward, and even forced its way into my stepson's room. The desk where I would have been working was covered in heavy debris. My daughter's bouncer was right in the middle of the wreckage. We both would have been seriously injured or worse. Something told me to leave that morning, and it quite possibly saved our lives. So, what is it? Intuition? Psychic ability? Coincidence? A guardian angel whispering in my ear? I don't know. But whatever it is, I'm grateful for it. Thanks for reading my story.
When I was younger, I remember going to my mom's bed to take a nap. For context, I rarely remember my dreams, so it kind of freaks me out whenever I do remember. I fell asleep and I remember waking up, sitting straight up, absolutely scared, and telling my mom, "She's dead." I dreamt of an older lady face down, sprawled out, with a blue dress on. I saw wooden floors, and she was lying near a bathroom. But I couldn't tell who she was. My mom calmed me down and assured me that it was a nightmare. I kept telling her, "Mom, I don't feel good. I'm terrified of the lady." She assured me that everything was fine and to mellow out so I could sleep later that night. Let's jump to 11 p.m. that night. My mom's phone got a long-distance call from Mexico, and my aunt sobbed uncontrollably. Because she arrived at home to find my grandmother dead. She was found lying in the bathroom, dead of an apparent heart attack, face down. I had never met my grandma, as she stayed in Mexico. So, do you guys think that's why I couldn't recognize who she was? Well, the second time something like this happened, it was during quarantine. My friend had just moved back to his hometown in Texas because he was diagnosed with cancer. I would video call him, text him, and send him care packages. He had been undergoing surgeries and radiation for a bit and he seemed happy because he felt like he was getting better. One night, I dreamt of him, smiling, sitting on a hospital bed and waving at me. I woke up, freaked out, and I ran to text him, letting him know that I saw him happy in a dream and that it may be a sign that he's going to get better. To be honest, I knew that it was probably not a good sign. He didn't text back. Some days later, I asked his brother how he was doing, and he mentioned him still going through radiation sessions and being the same old, same old. Sadly, exactly 1 month later from the dream, I know this because of the text that I sent him that night, his family posted on Facebook that he had passed away in the hospital in his sleep. I remember sobbing. I felt almost to blame for his death. My husband thinks that he was saying goodbye to me that night. Does anyone else have any similar experiences with their dreams? It frightens me, mostly because I feel like they indicate some form of time jumping or seeing the future, or just show that time isn't linear. It was also scary to know my grandma was dying and that my brain couldn't put a face to her like it did with my friend, but that I still knew that she was dead, even being in another country. How does that work?
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This happened when I was 29, back in 2016. It was a rough year. Our 16-year-old dog had just passed, and my partner of 2 years had just abruptly broken up with me. Feeling alone, lost, and confused over my breakup, I decided to call a psychic that I had heard on a local morning radio station. She specialized in relationships and all that, so I figured maybe she could ease my mind, even if it all just ended up being bullshit. The call with her was actually pretty spot on. She mentioned some personal things that she couldn't have found on the internet, brought up my ex without me mentioning it, and somewhat helped me feel better about my current situation. As my time with her was drawing to a close, she paused and said, "Wait, who is Elizabeth?" I said, "Oh, she's one of my aunts. We haven't been on the best of terms for a few years now." What I didn't say was that my aunt had been diagnosed with cancer the year prior and was not doing well. It had spread and she was basically on hospice care. I was close with her daughter, who was also estranged from her mother. My aunt had done things and said things that basically turned myself, my mother, and her own daughter against her. While we were sad for her diagnosis, the damage was done. Call us cold if you'd like, but she was not a good person. The psychic then suddenly had a serious tone to her voice. "Listen, I don't care what has happened. You need to go make peace with her." I stuttered and stammered, trying to make up an excuse. "No," she said. "Promise me that you'll make peace with her as soon as possible." I said that I would, and we ended our 15-minute call. I was weirded out, but didn't think much of it after. Fast forward a few days, and my cousin, my aunt's daughter, let me know that she is coming into town to see her mom, because she's declining pretty rapidly. I didn't tell her about my conversation with the psychic, but I asked if I could come with her and basically say goodbye. She agreed, and we headed to my aunt's. While it was awkward at first, we all sat around like old times, with my aunt in the hospital bed set up in her living room. I gave her a hug and told her I loved her. We left that night, and the next day, she passed. This is where it starts to get weird. My mom called me a few days after the funeral and asked me if anything strange had been happening to me. Confused, I said no and asked her why. She said that in the days following my aunt's passing, who was her sister, scary things had been happening to her. She had been in the kitchen and a small crockpot given to her by my aunt years ago had just fallen out of a cupboard where it was securely stored. Then one night, she awoke out of a dead sleep with what felt like a heavy weight on her chest, and she swore someone was whispering, "Just listen to me," right in her face. This is relevant because my mom had confronted my aunt with something that had come out just before her cancer diagnosis, and my aunt lied to my mom's face, screaming, "Just listen to me. You know I'd never do that to you." The last thing that happened is what scared me the most. My mom woke up, yet again, out of a dead sleep, from a nightmare, and she was covered in what looked like to be nail marks, as if someone with long nails had been digging into her skin, all over her arms. My aunt was known for her long acrylic manicures, so this absolutely terrified me when my mom told me. She asked if I had wanted to get my apartment blessed because she was having someone come to her house with holy water, white roses, Bibles, all of that. I passed, not thinking it was necessary. After the blessing, my mom went through her house and got rid of everything my aunt had ever given her, just in case. All the nightmares and weird occurrences stopped, and we didn't really talk about it again. As someone who rolled their eyes at anything paranormal before all of this, I was now somewhat a believer. I thank that psychic, though. I'm not sure what she helped me avoid, but I'm glad I made peace with a soon-to-be vengeful spirit.
I've been listening to the podcast since its beginning, and I don't think I've heard anything quite like this, so if anyone has any input or similar experiences, I would love to hear it. I was around 13 years old when this happened. My parents were divorced, and I lived with my dad. My dad was a type 1 diabetic and was not in the best state of health. He had to be taken to the hospital the night before this happened, so my mother came to our house to watch me while they figured out what was going on with them. The next day after school, I was sitting on the couch finishing up entirely too much homework, as you do at 13. When I was done, I got up to collect my 3 books off of the coffee table and put my work away when this strange feeling washed over me. It felt like I was losing touch with my body. My brain was telling my body to pick up the 3 books, but my body wasn't listening. Just moving slowly and almost robotically, I somehow grabbed one of the 3 books and made my way towards my room on autopilot. When I round the corner to my room, I overhear a conversation between my mom and dad. "Mom, hey, what are you doing home?" "Dad, they released me. Hospital transport was able to take me home." "Mom, oh, well, great. What was wrong with you?" "Dad, the new medication I'm taking caused me to have pericarditis. The lining of my heart is inflamed. So I'm stopping that medication. I should be fine. But that's why I was in so much pain and thought that I was having a heart attack." "Mom, that's fantastic. I'm glad it wasn't something worse." At that point, I was so excited to hear my dad, and I was so happy he was home and okay. I rushed into his room where I heard their voices coming from, and with shock knocking the wind out of me, my mom was alone. She also wasn't even on the phone. She saw my face and asked what was wrong, and I told her I thought I had heard Dad. I didn't explain further because I felt crazy, so I just walked out of the room. The next day we went to the hospital. My dad was going to be released. When we got there, we asked what happened. "Were you having a heart attack?" He, along with the discharge nurse, told us that this new medication was causing pericarditis. Everything I had overheard the night before was correct. I don't know how I knew, and I don't know how I heard them have a full conversation when my dad wasn't even there. I still don't know what to make of it. I feel pretty crazy, but hopefully somebody can relate.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Nice little compilation episode we had here for the holidays.
Yeah, I like these premonition stories, and it's been a while since we've done one of these. I love revisiting old stories. I did the same thing for Let's Not Meet. I usually do it for Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that's pretty much it, just towards the end of the year. And yeah, I just enjoy them because these are stories that I completely forgot. As we've said many times before, we read so many stories that it's nearly impossible to remember all of them.
Yeah, and I'm sure we've talked about at least some of these before, but if not, that's cool too. We can talk about it finally and play a little catch up.
I figure if we do end up talking about something that we talked about in the last episode, just pretend it's fresh because it technically is to us.
It really is. Yeah, the weeks kind of blur together.
Yeah, definitely. But we'll do our usual start with the listener comments. Cal Canthite. referencing last week, they said, I wanted to share my sell my soul story after hearing both of yours. High school age, and I went into the woods, offered my soul for a profitable future mentality. And they say, I remember a voice that wasn't my usual inner voice saying, a subtle hand will guide you. It was weird enough to be creepy. Never experienced anything else like it. Well, at 32, I'm not happy with the deal. If anyone has any suggestions for reneging on these contracts, I'm all ears. And they don't share any of the details as to why they're not happy. I'm wondering if they're just referring to how life just sucks in general.
I know. A gordita crunch is like $6 now.
I can't believe that. That used to be one of my favorite things to order, but I refuse to order it anymore. It sucks.
It's horrible. Yeah, good luck thrifting and getting a good price either. Everything is just so... Anyway, we won't got to go down that road again.
Yeah, the contracts thing. It was funny how you said you had this really overwhelming experience. Whereas I had absolutely no experience whatsoever. It was just dead silence. I was like, hey, mm-hmm. Satan, I sell my soul to you, and just nothing. And all right, back to GameCube.
He didn't want you.
Yeah, he didn't. Nobody wants me.
Aww.
Calliope Pie says, in reference to 211 as well, eerie timed lights writer, you're the weird neighbor. Leave Anne alone, please, and put down the binoculars. I just said binoculars. That's weird. Binoculars.
Like
binoculars.
Binoculars.
It's like when people say Italian. and Taylor on Discord actually echoed the same thing. I don't want to shame anyone, but the neighbor story with the shadows and the lights and whatnot, maybe OP, freaked her out. I don't know their gender, but if I was an older woman in my 60s, I would be very weirded out by my neighbor telling me that they see what I do at night and they're looking in my windows. I think OP may be struggling with their own paranoia.
No kidding.
I still disagree. I mean, yeah, it would be creepy to hear that your neighbor's been spying on you, but it's equally as creepy as what was going on, which was the weird Home Alone setup with the shadows and the lights and everything.
True. Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence with this one.
Well, let's get into these stories. I want to start off with one of mine. It was Premonitions by Split09. So what I found interesting about this one that I wanted to bring up was the fact that not only did they have a premonition dream about a woman dying in their bathroom, just like their grandma did. They didn't know it was their grandma because they had never met their grandma. They couldn't describe who the woman was or their face or anything. And that just further backs up the issue here, because if a kid had made something up, like a premonition, they would say, "Grandma, I saw that grandma died."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could have a coincidence where their grandma died. But the added layer of not knowing who it was, and it ended up being grandma, and the fact that they had never met their grandma, it's all too coincidental. This one, to me, it adds a layer of proof for, you know. And these dream premonitions are interesting because the author often says that these dreams, like they say that these dreams feel more important, and sometimes they're more vivid than regular dreams. Like normally you'll wake up from a terrifying dream about your life, like something bad happening, you'll be like, "Whew, that was a dream." Well, anyways, let's move on to their day. The premonition dreams seem to stick around. Like they seem to have an impact on the person.
You're being shown something. At least I know Jung, he thinks synchronicity is more than merely a hunch or a gut feeling. It could be some sort of unknown, unseen force that warns us or preps us psychologically for what's to come.
Yeah, that could make sense. Or when we dream, we time travel.
That too.
Yeah, float around through time. But yeah, it's a great story. I love these dream premonition stories.
Yep.
I hope everyone has a great holiday. I don't have a lot planned. Just going to have dinner with my parents and wait for them to go home.
Well, at least they're coming to your place. That makes things a little bit easier.
Yeah. What about you?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Perfect. That's what the holidays are when you get older.
I'm just glad I'm not working, as horrible as that sounds.
Well, anyways, thanks everybody for listening. We enjoyed putting this together. If you have a story, send it to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails. You'll get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. See you next week, everyone. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Don't let the ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.